Welcome to Generations. This is Kevin Swanson, your host. Bill Jack from Worldview Academy with me on this edition. And Bill, let's talk about Campus Crusade, once a very prolific ministry that seemed to have a tremendous influence in bringing the gospel, discipling the nations. My wife, very much blessed by the work of Campus Crusade at the University of Utah back in the late 70s, early 80s. Wow. But now what's happening to Campus Crusade? They're backing down on the LGBTQ thing, and we'll get to that in just a moment. They changed their name from Campus Crusade to Crew. I'm sure that's helped a lot.
Yeah. It's like being in a church without an association with a denomination. They want to be generic. They want to be vanilla. Don't want to be offensive.
What does Crew stand for?
It stands for Crusade. It's
CRU. So how does this help us?
Because the Crusade is a violent term. It is a militant term.
It's kind of militant, yes. Yeah. We got to move away from this church militant thing.
We're advancing on the culture. We don't want to advance.
We need to have more retreats. More retreats. There we go.
Let's retreat from culture.
Let's get more retreats scheduled.
Yeah. Do you think
that's actually definitive, what's going on in American Christianity?
Yes. This saddens me because the ministry that brought me to Colorado, the Caleb Campaign, was highly influenced by Campus Crusade for Christ. Yeah. The ministry for which I now work, there are many, many of our faculty who've been influenced and brought to Christ and had the experience of going out and sharing their faith as a result of being involved in Campus Crusade as college students. I know more ministries that have been sprung from those who have gone through, as college students, Campus Crusade for Christ, and it has had rippling effects throughout the world, not just the United States.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I've seen it.
And it's been a blessing in many, many ways.
Yeah, I've seen it. But what's happening here? It's a backing down.
Yes.
It's a refusal to realize that we are soldiers.
Yes.
We are in a battle.
That we are at war with evil. We're at war with the one who is the enemy of our soul and wants to kill, steal, and destroy all those around us, those with whom we have acquaintances and those with whom we have dear relationships.
There's a lack of manliness, a lack of aggression, lack of
virility,
there's something very passive
urgency
descended upon the nation.
There's a lack of sense of urgency. I mean, we no longer sing what? Onward Christian soldiers, marching as to war.
Yeah, I just did a search for it.
Yeah.
It's called one of the most controversial hymns of all time. And so, and when I did a search for it, I come up with the lyrics. Here they were. These are the new lyrics.
Yeah.
That were published for Honor Christian Soldiers. You want to hear it?
No.
This new edition.
Am I going to throw some of the old editions?
Well, here's how it goes. Backward Christian soldiers.
Uh-huh.
Fleeing from the fight.
Mm-hmm.
With the cross of Jesus nearly out of sight. Christ, our rightful master, stands against the foe. But forward into battle, we are loath to go. That's the new one. Backward Christian soldiers fleeing from the fight with the cross of Jesus nearly out of sight.
And this is the new
lyrics for Honored Christian Soldiers. Like a mighty tortoise moves the church of God. Brothers, we are treading where we've always trod. We are much divided, many bodies we, having many doctrines, not much charity. Crowns and thrones may perish, kingdoms rise and wane, but the church of Jesus hidden does remain. Gates of hell shall never against the church prevail. We have Christ's own promise, but we think it will fail. Sit here then, ye people, join our useless throng, blend with ours your voices in a feeble song. Blessings, ease, and comfort, ask from Christ the King. With our modern thinking, we don't do a thing.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I think that's
the new version of Honored Christian Soldiers just released. We sing it occasionally in the church, and I think we should sing it more.
The original version, because we have a vibrant, vital faith that's aggressively seeks to change culture by proclaiming truth and grace to people. When hearts are changed, their sphere of influence begins to be changed. We salt and light the culture with truth and with grace. It affects their families. It affects businesses. It affects their relationships. It affects their government. It affects all aspects of culture. And culture is blessed when Christians take heart from God's word and then take it into their minds and begin to apply it after chewing on it and chewing on it, begin to apply it in every aspect of culture, in economics, in entertainment, in politics, in government, in law, in education. Culture is blessed by this aggressive Christian faith that is vibrant and vital.
Yes, yes, yes.
But when we retreat from culture,
It's fear. It's faithlessness.
Yes.
That's what it is. And I want to get back to that in just a moment. What in the world is Campus Crusade doing now, backing away from a biblical position on homosexuality? That next on Generations.
Hello, friends. Danny Craig here, host of HomeschoolSummits.com and on the team here at Generations. I'm excited to be one of the speakers for the 2024 Colorado Father-Son Retreat, and I wanted to invite you to join me and my son, Jed, and speakers Kevin Swanson, Todd Adams, Mike Snavely, Logan Wilson, and hundreds of other fathers and sons at the Colorado Father-Son Retreat this August 15th to the 18th, or August 22nd to the 25th, to grow closer to your sons and to our God. Last summer, over 500 fathers and sons went on an amazing adventure together to have a life-changing experience in the Colorado Mountains. God did an amazing work in the lives of these men, and we believe and pray He will do it again this summer. Men, you are being invited to assemble in the Colorado Mountains to worship, play, shoot, zipline, to go deeper with your son and explore the gospel of Jesus Christ and how it can transform your father-son relationship. Go to ColoradoFatherSon.com and secure your spot today. Don't miss the adventure before you. ColoradoFatherSon.com.
And we're back on the Generations broadcast. Kevin Swanson with you, as well Bill Jack. Campus Crusade, a ministry that's done a lot of good through the years, but now evidently Crew has fired two employees who went public with their concerns about their teaching on LGBTQ issues. This is from notthebee.com. The Christian Campus Ministry dismissed Uriah and Marissa Mundell after they publicly voiced concern about these policies, and apparently it had something to do with differences concerning several issues. And let me summarize those. Last year, after completing the ministry's new mandatory sexuality training, the Mundells, both 42 years of age, said they raised concerns with their supervisors, the Human Resources Department, and other Crew leaders, including the Director of Theological Development, Keith Johnson. Each time they said their concerns were dismissed, the Mundells questioned whether it is scriptural for Crew to allow staff to adopt LGBT identity labels, including identifying as gay Christian or using a person's preferred pronouns, and to refer to same-sex attraction as a disordering of sexual desire and not sin. So the fireable offenses were that these folks were protesting and saying, hey, we should call homosexuality and homosexual behavior a sin, not a disordering of sexual desire. And we shouldn't allow for the phrase gay Christian, and they're not going to use the preferred pronouns that are, I guess, requested on the part of transgender students, college students with whom they minister. So those are the issues. That's why they were dismissed from Campus Crusade. Now, none of these positions, these three things, are radically pro-homosexual positions. They're middle-of-the-road positions. I think we should say that from the outset. They're middle-of-the-road positions. Now, in my background, the only thing in the middle of the road are yellow lines and dead skunks.
Or
you ever hear that?
As the old saying goes, man who walks down middle of the road gets hit by cars going both ways.
Yeah, and that's the issue.
You're neither on one in one lane or the other, but you're going to get hit by both cars, and that's the problem that Crew has caved to and said, yes, we'll take this middle road, because you must understand that evil does never remains stagnant. Mm-hmm. It is always moving and always pushing. And evil demands not just affirmation, evil demands celebration. Mm-hmm. And so when Crew begins to give just a little bit, just compromise a little bit, they're moving from one lane, the proper lane in which to drive, over into the other, and they're going to hit a head-on collision with the culture and with God's word.
The lukewarm position is always an untenable position, Bill.
I think Jesus said something about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, he did.
He said, I wish you were, what, lukewarm, right?
No, cold or hot.
Yeah.
The, on the one side, the world doesn't like you. And then on the other side, Jesus doesn't like you.
Yeah.
He wants to just throw you up out of his mouth. So that's a tough position. The world doesn't like you. The world doesn't like Crew now. And Jesus doesn't like them. That's a tough position to be in.
Yeah.
The world isn't saying, oh, that's wonderful. You're telling me my homosexuality is disordering of sexual desire, but it's not really a sin. That's really helpful. Thanks for the clarification.
Yeah.
You think the world's saying that? You think the world's saying, yeah, thank you. Oh,
no.
Boy, you're just so special. I just want to give you a big hug because what you're calling my homosexuality is a disordering of sexual desire. So just thank you very much.
Give me
a big hug now.
And tell me
no,
about,
that's not going to happen.
Tell me
you
about
don't get the support
tell me about
of the world.
Jesus. Now
yeah,
tell me
now
about
tell
Jesus.
Me about Jesus, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, you affirm that my pronouns are they. Oh, goody. Yeah, good. So now please tell me about
tell
Jesus.
Tell me about Jesus, yeah. Is he a transgendered?
Yeah.
Is he transgendered yeah. like me? All right,
I'm
so
telling you, it is.
That's pretty
it
sad.
Is.
It's pretty sad, isn't it?
No, it's sickening. It's not just sad.
It's almost,
it is
you're
sickening.
Almost, you're almost like saying what Jesus said to the Church of Laodicea.
I mean, in Bill Bright's book in 1995 called "The Coming Revival," he insists, "quote God has cursed those who insist on practicing and promoting homosexuality."
Oh man, that's Bill Bright.
That's Bill Bright, the founder of.
Apparently,
Campus Crusade for Christ.
Apparently, they took that out of the employee manual.
Yes.
That didn't survive.
And now Crew has turned not just on its founder, but they've turned against God's word in proclaiming truth and grace. What is the most loving thing you can do for a person? Not affirm their sexual perversion, not say, I will address you by whatever pronouns, not participate in a lie. The most loving thing you can do for a person is tell them the truth. Because the truth sets people free. It's not the lie that sets people free. It's telling them the truth. Now, that doesn't mean you have to rail and rant.
Right.
What mm-hmm. you do is you tell them the truth. If you were running toward a cliff mm-hmm. in a fog and didn't know the fog was there, and I came out, tackled you, we tumbled across the ground, you scraped your nose off your face, you broke your arm.
And you might have railed and ranted a little bit. Don't run over the cliff.
Would you be upset with me?
No, I'd probably say, hey,
until
thanks,
you found
Bill.
Out uh-huh. what? That
right.
I saved
right.
your life.
Uh-huh.
The truth can be harsh. It can be hurtful.
Mm-hmm.
But it is the most loving thing you can do for a person.
It's good. Well, friends, sitting on the fence, untenable position, especially hard for males. I'll just say that.
Mm.
Who wants to be on the fence? Who wants to be in the middle of the road? The world isn't really appreciating the fact that you're not totally embracing everything about homosexuality, polyamory, and everything else they do. Okay, the world wants you totally embracing all of it. If you don't, they don't like you. Bill, compromising on evolution by theistic evolution is very similar to this.
Yes.
They don't impress the humanist scientific community. They just don't.
And they only cause Christians to waffle and cause Christians to doubt and cause Christians to question the Word of God's veracity.
To sit on the fence is just utterly ridiculous. It's pitiful. It's just a sad sort of thing. And I think it marks the end of useful ministry.
Mm-hmm.
Unless they repent. That's what Jesus said in Revelation chapter 3. He said, I'm taking you out of the candlestick unless you repent. And, you know, there's a possibility the church in Laodicea would repent. I don't know if it did or not. But I would say in general, Bill, they don't repent. And that's the end of it. Pretty sad. That's pretty sad.
Yeah.
Okay, you undermine your own authority as well. Our only truth authority when it comes to creation, when it comes to sexual ethics, is to stand on the Word of God. We surrender that, Bill. We have no authority left. It's over. But why do they do it? Now, I want to hit this just for a second. Why preferred pronouns? Why gay Christians? Well, as you said, Bill, I think it's to appeal somewhat to the world, but the world's not impressed. So I don't think it does much good there. I think it's a surrender of the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I think it's a lapse in faith. That's what it is, Bill. It's a surrender of the new life that's supposed to come through Jesus Christ. The real issue is faith. They just can't quite believe in Jesus. Crew is having a hard time believing in Jesus, that Jesus brings a new identity, that Jesus has the power to give you new life. Bill, we walk in the graveyards And we believe that Jesus is going to raise the dead today. We believe this stuff. Mm-hmm. Say, well, that's a miracle. If Jesus walks in there and changes somebody's gay identity, et cetera, that would be a miracle. That's exactly what we do.
Exactly.
And yet that's the thing that they can't quite believe it. They can't quite believe that Jesus will give them a new name, a new identity, a new life. They just can't believe the gospel. They can't believe the gospel could be that powerful. Now, calling somebody by their preferred pronoun is living by lies. And let's just say this. Now, you're in a business situation. Somebody introduces you to a man pretending to be a woman and says, you need to call her a she. Now, what are you going to do? You're probably going to lose your job. Big deal. You're not going to live by lies. Christians can't countenance lies. We can't join into the pretense of this thing. We don't play the little game and act like we're on board. Well, maybe they are on board. Maybe Campus Crusade is on board with that. Maybe they're not on board. I don't know. But they're giving the impression to the person who's transgendering that they are on board by using the preferred pronouns. Pronouns are not merely symbolic and localized in application. Food offered to idols is symbolic and local in application. But we're not to give any credence whatsoever to the food offered to the idols. We're to absolutely abandon all of that because we don't live by lies. Calling a she a he is lying. Yeah. That's the bottom line. It's also joining in with their sin, rendering approval for their sin. It's a sin for a man to pretend to be a woman. It's a violation of Deuteronomy 22:5. It's an abominable thing. Listen to Deuteronomy 22:5, a clear ethical command of God Almighty himself. A woman shall not wear anything that pertains to a man, nor shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all who do so are an abomination to the Lord your God. Now, that has not been shifted in the New Testament. Some say, well, there are certain things that are shifted in New Testament revelation. This has not been. The New Testament confirms it in absolutely certain terms. Here it is. Does not even nature itself teach you that if a man has long hair, it's a dishonor to him? And that's in the context of distinguishing men and women in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Or know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, that is, malakoi, those wearing feminine-type clothing, nor homosexuals shall inherit the kingdom of God. But such were some of you. But you've been washed, you've been clean, you've been justified by the blood of Jesus Christ. So why do they do this? Why does Crew do this? I think there's an overwhelming sense that we have no power. There's no power left in the gospel. That's number one. There's also this overwhelming sense that we have lost the battle. And we just have to live with the degradation of society. When you're on your three-yard line, you've been pushed back to your own three-yard line. It's the point at which you need to compromise everything away because there's no way in which we're going to progress from this point forward. The odds are against us. The deck is stacked. And this is the point at which the faithless give up. This is faithlessness. And the apostasy is raging. The clubs, the churches are doing everything they can to prop up their membership and pretend like things are better than they really are. Weekly church attendance dropping off, etc. So it's if you can't fight them, join them. Minimize their sins and just kind of drag along with a pretended membership that everybody is on board with us with all of the compromise we're bringing into the organization. But I think that's the kind of thing that's happening right now. It's compromise that hits you when you're on your own three-yard line and you've lost significant scrimmage.
It's fear versus faith. It's fear.
That's what it is,
man.
Yeah.
We will be kicked off campus. We will no longer have a ministry, so therefore we have to give a little here.
Yeah.
And instead of faith in God, that God created this ministry, he formed it in the mind of Bill Bright. He brought it to fruition. It's had a beautiful history and legacy until now when those who are now in charge begin to fear men rather than fear God. Bill Bright was fearless.
Yeah.
He was
whatever happened
fearless.
To Bill Bright? Whatever happened to Campus Crusade?
Yeah.
That's the question. Okay. Well, friends, may God increase our faith, our courage in the midst of a world that's ungodly and opposed to us at every single point. But may we be convinced of the power of the gospel. It was amazing to me that the Apostle Paul was looking forward with such anticipation to walk into Nero's backyard and begin to evangelize in Rome in one of the most dangerous times in all of human history. You read about that in Romans chapter 1. I'm preaching through it on Sundays. But it was, you know, I was just blown away by the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the confidence that Paul had in it as he said, I'm coming to Rome. I'm coming to Rome because I want to preach. Right there, 30 feet off from the dragon's lair. I want to bring the gospel into the very heart of the kingdom of the devil. That's the Apostle Paul's attitude in 57 AD as he's writing that letter to the church at Rome. Friends, that needs to be our attitude everywhere. Not to compromise with the Neronic agenda and the whole Nero dressing up in a dress and then marrying a guy. No, no, we're not compromising with a bit of that. We're continuing to stand for biblical ethics, biblical definitions of sin, but also biblical definitions of grace. The grace of God is sufficient to cleanse, to forgive, to change, to transform people, and to bring them a new identity in Jesus Christ. Man, the gospel is a power to do all of that. Amen and amen.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war.
With the cross of Jesus going on before.
Going on before. That's what our call is.
That's it. Let's stay on it.
It is. It's got virility. Yeah. It's got masculinity. It's got power. It's got authority.
Would somebody sing that hymn next Sunday, please? Okay. Yes. That wraps up this edition of the Generations Broadcast, my friends. You can get my book, Keep the Faith, on Sexuality and Family. It really comes down to this hot button issue of the day, and that is homosexuality, abortion, these sorts of things. What is the early church? How did it deal with this? And what does the Word of God say about these critical issues for our day? It's called Keep the Faith on Sexuality and Family. Just a little book, about 120 pages, available at generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson and Bill Jack inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.